Welcome, everybody, to Around the ACL. Michelle Thompson here. I'm joined by Trey Ryder and Jake Brannon, and we have a great episode coming for you today. We're going to recap the Tridelphia Open number 11 event. We have news around the league. We have our top 10 from the Open, buy or sell, and then we're going to bring on a special guest with a kind of a controversial spin, right? We kept asking, does Devin Harbaugh have a finishing problem? So we're going to bring him in to talk about that because obviously he was able to get that win. Trey, we were able to catch a lot of the action happening this weekend or past weekend.
Yeah, I got to watch a good bit of it. I got to listen to way too much Jake Brannon. So
yeah, fair.
I got plenty of my fill there. So I think I'm good at least for a couple months there, hopefully. But no, it was great. Yeah. No, I had the opportunity to kind of, I'm enjoying my kind of last few before the travel season picks up. I'll be at all 8 pro events. So for me, it's going to be a pretty busy April through August when you throw in world championships, when you throw in, the throwdown and I think I'm even going to Europe for the European Championship in September. So it's wow. So for me, the opportunity to kind of chill and watch cornhole from afar is good. And, I purposely got to sleep. You know what I loved, Michelle, is just I loved sleeping in on the day of daylight savings and then rolling over and be like, oh, look, they're getting ready to get started and having to listen to Jake and Wally just have to
just rubbing it in.
You stink.
So it was a great weekend, Michelle.
It was a great weekend. I was kind of bummed. I missed most of Doubles Day, but I guess for a good reason. I think I told you, Trey, that I found a stylist for the broadcast outfits. And so she coincidentally lives near me, which was not planned. So I actually drove to the mall about an hour away to meet her. And I cannot shop any other way. I literally never left the dressing room. She brought me every item of clothing, every size, put every outfit together, took pictures and was like, okay, we're done. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. So I got my broadcast outfits for April. So yeah, it was fantastic.
Look at you.
But I was there like all day.
When do I get that? Do I get that sometime soon?
Well, yeah, you just wear like a polo. Like, you see this much.
We're trying to get fancy this year. I think I'm going to get a blazer. I think we're going to wear jackets.
Okay. Ooh. Well, I will pass jacket, that information on.
Like a little jacket t-shirt combo. So it's like, it's got like the trendy shirt, but yes. It's like you're not super fancy. So we're trying to do something stylish.
One of those tuxedo t-shirts.
Yeah, tuxedo t-shirt. Exactly.
If we put an outfit together, she'd be like, well, we don't want it to look like office attire. So we're going to get like leather. Instead of, so it's interesting to make it edgier, but it was a lot of fun. And I've never said that about shopping ever in my entire life. So that says a lot about that. Jake, you awake over there? I mean, you must be exhausted.
Oh man, barely. No, it was a fun weekend. It definitely had its highs and lows. A 17-hour day on Friday. Saturday, we got to sleep in a little bit, so that was fun. And then we got to watch some great cornhole action and doubles. But then Saturday night, Wally and I made the great decision to stay up and watch the UFC pay-per-view that didn't end until about 1:45.
Smart.
Oh, you did that to yourself.
I get back in bed. I'm scrolling on social media at 1:59, and then it turns to 3 a.m., and I'm like, oh, no. So I got about 4 hours of sleep Saturday night into Sunday, so I got up bright and early for singles. I was feeling great. Singles was awesome. It made me energized right away. And we had to finish tearing down. And then the even more fun part, Sunday evening, we decided to drive home instead of staying because it's only about a four and a half hour drive back to my hometown. And there was a major snowstorm in the Western Maryland mountains. So when we were driving through the mountains, there was about 3.5 inches of snow on the ground. The road, probably the worst road conditions I have personally ever seen. And it turned a 4 hour drive into a 6.5 hour drive. And probably it was just a constant state of panic attack for about an hour and a half straight as we went up and down the mountains. It was a time, but I'm here. I'm ready to go. I got a great night of sleep last night, and I'm ready to rock this around the ACL.
I would have been in the fetal position in the back of that car.
I was close.
Did either of you go to this same place when we did it in Tridelphia a few years ago?
I did not.
Either of you there?
time here. First time.
I remember turf, and all of a sudden I looked at it, and it was turf. The turf wasn't new, was it?
No, no. So I think Michael said last year they played it on the basketball courts across the hall, and now we had the entire football field this year.
Okay, that totally makes sense now because I was like, I did not remember turf at all when I went there last time. So, all right, now I'm not crazy.
Well, we're glad you made it out alive, Jake. We'd be so sad if you weren't here with us. So terrifying, but we made it. Next time, maybe just sleep and go the next day. I don't know. Just saying. All right, our winners, Devin Harbaugh for singles, doubles, Trey Burchfield, Adam Hisner, do it again. We have a lot to talk about there. Women, Sarah Cassidy, seniors, Pat Sem, and juniors, Jackson Gore. So those are our winners. Trey, go ahead and pick whoever you'd like to talk about and share with us because there's a lot there.
There is a lot there. So I think in short, I mean, I had to start with Trey Burchfield and Adam Hisner. So really, when you talk about a team that is, in my eyes, I mean, they're the number one team in the world now. Like, I know we don't have pro standings yet, but like when I talk about teams that got to go favorites for the first, you know, pro event of the season, I don't see any reason why Trey Burchfield and Adam Hisner aren't number one there. I don't see any reason I can keep them from being there. They've done everything that you've asked them to do. Trey Burchfield in particular is now on 4 open doubles events, 3 of them with Adam Hisner. They're back to back. They're 16-1 in their last 17 games. Fun fact, does anybody have any idea who the one loss is from the 2 opens for Adam Hisner and Trey Burchfield? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Is it Sebastian Schaefer Ford and Cole Brewer?
It is not. The only loss across the 2 opens, Ty Lopez and Doug Zaft.
Wow.
And they lost that game by 1 point.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. When you talk about these two opens combined, Burchfield and Hisner are averaging a 10.1 points allowed per game. They are barely giving out double digits to some of the best teams in the world. They're beating some of the best teams in the world. They're not doing it hiding. They're doing it playing aggressive. Hisner is vintage. Hisner, Burchfield looks like the old school robot with a little bit of emotion to kick into it. This is a team that is showing that you can still be the best team in the world even if you don't throw a roll bag. Now, in particular, this is a team that still is in and around the hole. Okay. When you talk about someone, I would still classify what I've seen, even from Trey Burchfield, is a defensive game in particular. Hisner has always been a defensive player, but we're still seeing at least a little bit of Trey Burchfield having some defensiveness inside of his game as well. So I think this is a team overall that is going to continue throughout the season. There's nothing that I'm seeing that's indicating me a fluke. Now, when we talk about the pro season, if we went all the way through the pro season and they don't win a pro event, I can never say something like that would shock me just because the talent is so deep. Now, if you told me that they're not going to be a high finishing team, that would shock me. So when I look at, you know, when I look at what a power rankings look like, to me, they have to sit number one. They're atop those things and everybody else is just trying to get involved and trying to stay relevant. So overall, I think Trey Burchfield and Adam Hisner certainly win the day. It was good to see Mark Richards and Tony Smith also have a really strong performance. You know, they make it all the way to the semifinals where they run into Burchfield and Hisner. I thought Richards in particular was really good. Tony Smith, you know, I don't want to say I'm concerned. I just sometimes I want to see a little bit more out of Tony Smith. Again, I always have to remind myself that it's the open season and I'm not going to get the best version of Tony Smith. So I'm just really excited for Palm Beach when we get there so I can see this Tony Smith back in action that I've been expecting to see for quite a while now. But it was impressive to see a lot of these other players making some deep runs. Hunter Thorne and Jake Gore continue to showcase that they're going to be a problem this year when it comes to competing against them. They win yet another bracket. And they just run into a group of amateurs that I thought was interesting in Cole Brewer and Sebastian Schaefer Ford. And what I found so interesting about both of those players is I didn't neither one of them is an overly defensive player. They're very much a team that's going to put a lot of bags in the hole. They're going to run a lot of bags in the hole. Cobra, we've seen on the collegiate side of things, that I think has had a very deadly airmail in the past, and that is what has propelled him. But that goes to show you, it continues to show that, right, if you're one of those players, you can really, really put it all together. So over at least in doubles, not much I can say beyond Hisner and Birchfield.
Fair enough. Jake, you got more to add there or talk about one of the other events that happened?
Yeah, no, doubles really quickly. I mean, Trey took a lot of the words that I had planned on saying out of my mouth, so thanks for that. But no, really just going back to Trey and Adam, not surprising that they won at all by any means. But, you know, I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little skeptical at one point. We had shown their winner's bracket final match between Trey and Adam and Logan Chamberlain and Noah Almanza on the live stream. And Adam gave up 10 points in two rounds. He gave up a six spot and then a four spot. And they were down 12-0 after just four rounds. And I looked at Wally and I was like, this is the team that's won back-to-back opens? Are you crazy? And then Adam proceeded to make 24 out of 28. They went on a 21-2 run and won the game 21-14. So it just goes to show the mental fortitude that both Adam and Trey have coming into this season. The ability to not only miss bag, give up points, but to be able to come back even after a big deficit and take it down. So if they can continue to stay that hot, I think they're the number one doubles team in the world right now, but they may be the number one doubles team ever. You never know. It's far-fetched, but you never know. Also shout out Sebastian Schaefer Ford and Cole Brewer, man. Obviously completely under the radar looking through rounders. They had a decent run in rounders, and they just blew through everybody in their bracket. And then once they won their bracket, I was like, okay, they're playing Hunter and Jake. They should, in my opinion, put them away. And then they blew them out of the water. I think the final score was 21-9. Because they played that match while Adam and Trey were playing their semifinal match. And I think we may have had six or seven people walk up behind us to be like, hey, dude, these two kids aren't missing. I think Cole Brewer averaged over an 11 in that semifinal match. And I was like, oh, man, they're going to really give them a run for their money. But obviously we see Trey and Adam prove that they're still the best in the league right now. So props to them, but props to Sebastian and Cole as well.
All right. You guys want to talk about singles?
Yeah. So on the singles side, yeah, obviously Devin Harbaugh, you know, gets over the hump, right? I mean, wins another
question
one.
Mark?
I feel like, yeah, this was something that, you know, we kind of talked about before he won in West Wego, like last year, right? And we were like, when is Devin Harbaugh going to get that signature win? He wins it. And then I felt like it was just enough time and just enough second, third, fourth, fifth place finishes that we were like, okay, why isn't Devin Harbaugh winning, right? And so for him, he made it interesting, right? Right there at the end, he had a big lead and he had shots to win and he just couldn't get across that finish line. But I think that even spoke to more what dealing with adversity is. Adversity isn't always just like not being able to play well at all. It's about playing well the entire way and continuously having that roller coaster and still being able to finish on a high. So in my mind, you know, in the end, you know, Devin Harbaugh deserves all the credit that he does on the single side. But there are a couple other players I think are even worth mentioning and talking about their journey as well. I mean, I think Ryan Trader continues to show that he's that top rookie and he should be number one now. He wins a head-to-head matchup against Jeremiah Ellis. And I think that was a big thing for Anthony. He was waiting for that just to see if there would be a head-to-head matchup. The thing that was just so weird to me is that up until three rounds to go in that semifinal game, I thought Jeremiah Ellis was the best player in the tournament. I thought he was the best player. He was playing so loose. And it wasn't as if something happened. It wasn't as if there was a big round that went one way. It was all of a sudden, it was a close game. He was playing well. And then I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like 5-5-3, game over. Mm-hmm. Tournament over. See you later. And it just happened so quickly. And I think that when we look at Harbaugh and his ability to get across that finish line, that's something that Jeremiah Ellis is going to have to learn how to do, right? It's not so much, it doesn't always have to be the adversity of giving up a big round. Sometimes it's the adversity of just forgetting where you are and not remembering to elevate to that level of focus that you need to, because this wasn't something where he choked by any means. It's almost as if just for a second, it just faded. And that was enough for one of the best players in the world, someone I have as top five in the world, who's already won two opens, to come in and take it down, right? And I think it, but it was an important one for Ellis, because I think he finally got over the mental hump of why is everybody playing against me so well on this live court, right? He's all, you heard him on the broadcast. He said, clip that, right? Clip, or I'm going to get clipped again. He kept saying that, right? Which I think is funny. And but he was able to get over that hump because he was the one that everybody was scoring on big on the live stream courts, but he was able to flip that around, flip the switch, and be able to deliver that himself. The only place where he faltered was that lapse of focus in those couple rounds that ultimately led to him coming up short. So again, for the Jeremiah Ellis people that don't like Jeremiah Ellis, he's getting even closer. And the timing is working out really, really well for Ellis and the Ellies. And I think he's going to be really, really primed to be to do really well. Also, shout out, Fisher Hamilton was really impressive. It was good to see him. He had kind of faded a little bit, and that worried me a decent bit that I hadn't seen him back at the end in singles. Seeing him very close to the end was good. Seeing Ethan Walker there right at the very end, I thought was really, really impressive as well. So, but yeah, it overall just a loaded stud lineup that made it all the way to the final eight. It was impressive to see, but Devin Harbaugh gets all the kudos, but I don't think Jeremiah Ellis is very far away.
It's funny. You talk about how players have to capitalize when someone misses. Like, you got to capitalize and get your points when that happens, because it's so rare that somebody, you know, will miss and give you the opportunity. But you kind of brought up the idea of capitalizing on momentary lapses in focus. Like, so if you can pick up on, oh, I think they've kind of dropped out, like, this is my opportunity to maybe do something different because they're not totally zoned in. So I think that's interesting to look at, capitalizing on that.
All right. Yeah, it's almost like the inverse of, like, it's kind of like what with Eric Davis. If Eric Davis is in a position where he's doing all this different shot making, he's going to beat you. But if you get him in a lull of, like, boringness and sameness, boringness or boredom, I should probably say, instead of boringness. Yeah. But if you get him into a state of boredom or visual sameness, right? We talk about that. That's when you see that lapse in judgment. I think that may be the instance sometimes with Ellis. He's going to be the big shot hitter. You know, he's going to talk while he does it too. And they had some nice back and forth, and that was great. He's just got to remember to keep that focus even when there's not big shots on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. Jake, anything to add there in singles?
Yeah, just a few things on singles. I want to go back to Devin Harbaugh, man. I was honest to God so impressed with him. I don't want to, you know, dive into it, but, you know, Wally and I had that bet. We had to pick a singles player to win. And, you know, going into Sunday morning, I had no idea who I was going to pick. So I was just walking around taking a sense of everything. And I walked up to Devin Harbaugh and I just flat out said, I said, should I pick you for today? And he looked at me cold stone blank face and said, that would be a good idea. And it's a face that I have not seen on Devin Harbaugh in a really long time. And it kind of took me aback. I was like, whoa. He's like serious. He's
you had intel, Jake. You cheated.
I did. I don't consider cheating. No, but he was pissed off with how he and Justin Burton Jr. did in doubles the day before. He was angry and he wanted to win. And that's from that direct second I knew. I was like, that's my pick, man. That's my pick. And he proved it. Unstoppable. Got to give kudos to him. But you shouted out a couple other people who won their bracket. How about the baby goat Alex Hicks getting back into an open singles bracket? I mean, he looked really good for the few matches I've seen. He looked really good. He looked really promising. I'm hoping he can keep that momentum going towards the pro season. That was his problem these past few years. He has really good success in the open season and in the open tournaments. But when you switch that gear over to the pro events, you know, you don't really see his name a lot. I'm hoping maybe this season will be a little bit different. He doesn't get a win, but he gets a really good finish, and hopefully that's a confidence and a momentum booster. Also, I feel like we may have to start dropping the baby goat nickname. That kid's getting tall. He's almost as tall as Wally. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
That's got to have affected his technique. It's impossible for it not to have. That's what happened to Jack Gore. I think that's a big reason. Yes, Jack Gore went through an injury, but I think that was a big reason that Jack Gore saw a little bit of a drop-off last year, was because he went through that growth spurt. Hicks, you could argue the same thing happened to him, but once they get to that new height that they are, right, then they can start getting honed in.
Yeah, for sure. Another quick shout out, Tyler Poitras winning his bracket. We didn't have the ability to get any Tyler Poitras matches on the live feed, and unfortunately, but from what I heard and what I saw around through the bracket, I mean, he looked good. He was really good. So shout out to him. I'm looking forward to see what he can do on the single side.
Absolutely. Some news around the league. We had the Delaware State Championship. For singles, we had Franklin Elliott, and doubles, we also had Franklin Elliott with Christopher Lott. So that was kind of it. So it was just our Open and the Delaware State Championship. So not a lot there, but we did have a lot of great shots. So I can't wait to get into the top 10 of the Open 11. Long numbers there. So Trey, bring it up for us.
Yeah. Is Jake running this?
I'll run it. I was there.
Lead the way, Jake.
Let's get things going. Honorable mention, man. We mentioned Jeremiah Ellis having fun on the live stream court. This is his bracket final when he double dipped Zach Scheibner. Every time he throws a social, he got the entire crowd to do a wave. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Also, the best awkward knuckles ever. I mean, he was not letting up.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, props to Zach for being a good sport with it too, man. It was a lot of fun to watch.
If we get Jeremiah Ellis on the broadcast court, I'm just going to tease this. With his energy, and I'll let you guys know, we just got shipped to the HQ today. The Corn Nuts cannon has arrived. No. So I won't even go into explanation. I'm just going to leave you guys with the Corn Nuts cannon has arrived.
We have like a liability waiver these guests are signing in case they get
Don't worry about it, Michelle. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my gosh. Moving on to number 10. Really, really impressive shot. Needed to hit this to stay alive. Ends up getting two and leaving Jake's bag there. Great shot.
Kaylee Hunter has been super good so far this year. We talk about a run in singles. She made a run in doubles with Pat Sement, multiple opens. Here at the conference event, she finished fifth among a really stacked field of pro players. This may be the best version of Kaylee Hunter that we have seen, and that is saying something. She's going to make a run at that number one, number two, number three top woman spot. Yeah.
I was blown away with how impressive she was this weekend. Very impressed. Moving on, number nine, Tyler Poitras. They just talked about him too. Him and Nico Morales did nothing but hit airmails on Saturday, and that's one right there, backside to leave Tony Smith. What a shot.
Poitras, T-Port, shout out. First ever ACL event that I went to, Tyler Poitras won singles. 2017 Virginia Beach National, way back in the day, ladies and gentlemen. Back. So it's but he looks good. That's almost prototypical what he had to do with Frank Modlin a couple of years ago in the pro doubles semifinals to get to the world championship final. So
Number eight. Mark Richards didn't really notice this on the stream when he did it, but looking back at it, this is really impressive. Opposite side, collecting his bag and leaving Gage Landis' bag there. Very sneaky, very good from the world champion.
Very impressive. I didn't see that one, but
yeah.
Oof.
Number seven, Jacob Gore getting in on the top shot. Look at this push, but not just the push. The reaction after Gore hit it was one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. Look at him just smiling. Yeah, I did that.
Good.
That is such a Gore. That is such a Gore smirk. He's just.
Oh yeah.
I don't. For lack of a better word, you know, he's just a little shit. And it's just awesome.
Like, in the best way possible.
Perfect.
In the best way possible, I mean that.
Yeah, it's so true. He knows it.
Oh, we've seen one Gore. Let's go over to the other Gore. This is Jack. Look at this bar of soap. But not just that. We stay and watch the young stud Gabriel Clausen go up and get it.
Said, you're not getting my bag out.
Uh-uh.
I'll take it back.
It was the first time I'd ever seen this Gabriel Clausen kid. Pretty good. I didn't know anything about him, but he showed out well.
Yeah, he's one of those Virginia boys. He can show out. Number five, Connie Altice. I almost fell out of my chair when she hit this. She went up backside airmail. I thought for sure she was going to lay up, but she said, nope, I'm shooting this.
She said, how much of the hole's open? Got it. No problem.
I saw Peyton Haynes in that clip. Peyton Haynes also really, really strong performance this past weekend. Made a really deep run in singles and right at the right time. Timely, playing well.
So impressed. Number four, Jeremiah Ellis. This is what we call in the cornhole industry, making it clap. Bang. Three bag drag. What a shot against Ethan Walker in the quarterfinals of open singles.
I was excited about that one. I love and it. And he clap.
He literally said, clip that. That better get clipped. That was the one he was yelling at Wally to make sure that one got clipped for this.
There you go, Jeremiah. Are you happy clipped. With number four? If not, don't tell us.
Number three, Trey, you just talked about her. Peyton Haynes, look at how long this roll bag is. From the ACL logo all the way up the board into the hole, and that's to tie the game at 20. Jack would lay up to give up four.
Yeah, I, if you had told me that Peyton Haynes was going to make it all the way to that King Seat match to play against Jack Gore and it would be 20-20, I probably would have laughed you out of the building. But she is showing that she can hit all of the shots. She can play defensive. She can take her points. I was really, really impressed by Haynes.
Moving on to number two, let's set the scene real quick. Ryan Trader needs to collect this pile, or Harbaugh will have a relatively simple shot to win the game. So what does he do? Slick side down as hard as he can and gets the drag. Great shot to stay alive. And that was pressure packed.
Yeah, Jake, you and Wally had me at the edge of my seat. It was a good call, too. We didn't get the call in this. We're not listening to it, but it was a good call.
We were at the edge of our seats. We had no idea what was happening. I just really wanted Wally to get in an ice bath.
We all did.
And, of course, number one, come on, another clip against Jeremiah Ellis. Look at this rodeo from Ethan Walker landing on top and sliding the two front pegs into the
Jeremiah,
hole.
Jeremiah, I can't wait.
Jeremiah's reaction is even funnier.
Oh, so good.
Jeremiah's reaction, like, makes it, because he just knew it. Again, that was the realization of, stop doing this against me. Do it against anybody else. Stop doing it against me. I'm
sure the content team. I'm sure the content team, as well as you, are just salivating over Jeremiah Ellis because he is built for the stage.
Absolutely, he is.
That's where he's going to be at home for sure.
All right, time for buy or sell. The first one, I brought it back. So I can't remember who was on the show with us, Trey, when I said Trey Burchfield will finish the season with 12 titles and you both sold. Was it Anthony? I think maybe it was Anthony. Anyways, I'm bringing it back. Now with this win, does this change? Buy or sell?
So if you're talking about open titles, then open titles, I probably have to, we're only talking four more left. Do they win one more? I mean,
can they win one more?
I think I had to sell, right? I can't. Yeah, I think I'll sell it just because I don't think, ultimately you can't tell me they're going to win four, right? I mean, four.
You didn't think they were going to win three.
Five. I think I still have to sell it.
You're still selling it. All right, Jake.
I'm 100% selling it, and I'll tell you why. The next open is not this weekend, but next weekend. It is Brighton, Michigan. Look, I'll tell you right now, they're not winning Michigan, and I'll get into that a little bit later. They're not going to do it. Uh-oh. But after Michigan, there's a little bit of a break because we have our first couple of pro events before the next open. And I say, I don't think he's going to be able to get that traction back between opens. So I'm going to sell it. He's not winning Michigan, and I don't know if he's going to get one the rest of the season.
Did you hear that, Trey? That was very absolute there from Jake.
That was.
Jeremiah Ellis will win a singles and doubles pro event this season. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell this one. I think he will get a singles event win. I really do. I don't know when, or I don't know if it's going to be in the shootout format or if it'll be in the national format. I'm not sure. I think he's come so close so many times. Statistics are going to tell me he's going to get across the finish line. However, I just to bank on Ryan Hart being able to hold up his hand, to bank on them being able to get the doubles as well, makes it that much more of a real low statistical probability. So for me, I'm going to sell it simply because I don't know if they can, he can get the doubles as well.
Jake?
Yeah, quite literally the exact same thing that I have typed out on my sheet. I think he, I'm going to sell it. I think he 100% has the opportunity to get a singles pro event win. But the big question mark is going to be that doubles. And if Ryan Hart can keep up with him, it's tough to tell. I mean, we haven't really seen Ryan Hart do a lot this year. I mean, love Ryan Hart. Love Ryan Hart. He's a great guy. You kept me refreshed all weekend long. But can he keep up with Jeremiah Ellis on the court on the other end with all these great other doubles teams? I don't know. I'm going to say no right now. Prove me wrong, Ryan, but I'm selling it.
Peyton Haynes finishes top 10 in women's.
Easiest buy that I could on this sheet. I'll even go as far as to say I may put her in my top five. I mean, really, I think you got to hold a spot for Cheyenne no matter what's going on, right? I think Sam Finley, Kaylee Hunter right now are playing out of their minds. And then you got this next group, Rosie, Cameron, you know, how they're playing. I think Haynes can – Sarah Cassidy and Haynes, I think, can fit somewhere in there. I don't know. I think Haynes right now is playing at a higher level as based on what I've seen the past couple events, right? I think it's an easy top 10. I'm saying she's at least flirting with top five. So, yeah, it's an easy buy for me.
Jake?
I mean, here we go again. Let me read you word for word what I typed out an hour ago. 100% definitely top 10. I would also think about putting her in top five. I mean, it's a buy. I hate that I keep agreeing with Trey again, but no, I mean,
you go first next time.
I'll go to you first. Let's do it that way.
No, it's just not only a great women's singles run, a great open singles run, like you mentioned, facing off in the King Seat game against Jack Gore. She's really impressed me, and her mental fortitude has gone a long way these past few months. Knowing her personally, I've had a lot of chances to talk to her. She's excited for this pro season. She's really wound up and ready to go, and I think she has top five talent.
All right, Jake, I'm going to you first. Ready? There will be two or more partner switches mid-season.
I'm going to sell it. I think last year was a little bit of a fluke. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happened last year, but I feel – you know, a new generation of the pro season. You know, we've changed up the schedule a little bit. You know, we got a lot of top dog teams. I don't think we're going to see as many partner swaps, if any, this year. So I'm going to sell it.
All right, Trey.
Buy it 1,000 times. Put your house on it. You're telling me we're not going to get through Palm Beach and some team that was thinking, you know, maybe we'll play together this year. And knowing that they have three events they can still get underneath their belt, they can still get one more shootout underneath their belt. They do that after the first national. You're telling me that there's not a team that finishes 65th that goes, this ain't working. We're starting over. I do buy it. We'll say more than two at least.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right, Jake, an elite player or players, if it's doubles, will win a pro title this season.
This was a hard one for me, but I ultimately decided to sell it. Just simply because the pro field this season is so incredibly stacked. I can think of maybe two or three elite players that could win a pro event, but you know, the number of pros who can win event, I feel, outweigh the number of elite players who can win event. So just based on simple math, I don't think it's a long shot. So I'm going to sell it.
Trey?
Yeah, I just think statistically, when you look at any individual elite player, that the hill for them to climb is so much harder, right? One, they had to play an elite qualifying tournament. They did that, right? Then they had to get into a pro bracket. and then they're going to be a low seed. They have to play high seeds right out of the gate. They have to fight their way through it and get all the way to the end. And then they have to show that they can play on broadcast, which most of these elite players have zero experience playing on, especially under these bright lights. I think there's so many odds stacked against an elite player, even if they're a talented amateur individual, someone that can hit all the shots and be a really big phenom. That all things could be great, but at the same time, I just think there's way too much stacking against an elite player being able to do that. Wouldn't surprise me if we see some have a deep run. Maybe we see a bracket final at best, but I just don't see someone getting all the way through to winning a pro event.
All right, there you have it. So it is time now. We're going to bring on our guest. So Devin Harbaugh, he is in the green room. We'll bring him in. Welcome, Devin.
How are y'all?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Happy to have you. Congrats on your big win.
Thank you.
That feels good.
Yes, ma'am. For sure.
All right, we're just going to kind of take turns here asking you some questions. And Trey, we'll start it off with you, and then we'll go to Jake.
Yeah, Devin, man, it's got to feel good. So I guess, was there an element of this win that was kind of like finally? Like, was there something that was a relief when you won this event?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been in the winner's circle. And then to top it off, I had a pretty big lead with multiple chances to put it away and wasn't even close. So, like, when I finally did it, it was like a sigh of relief. I was like, all right, I did it finally. I put it away.
Yeah. So you brought it up just a second ago. I want you to take me through what you were going through mentally when you missed a shot for the win the second time. So the first time you had a relatively simple push shot that you just missed to the left, but that second time you side railed it. I just want to know what was going through your head mentally when that happened. Like,
I mean, I just kept telling myself, all you got to do is bump it. Just bump it in and stay on the board, and it's done. Then my brain was doing that. My arm had other intentions. So I kind of took my frustration out of my headphones afterwards, got it out of the way, and then tried to focus back in.
I like how you said it like it was a – sacrifice, the sacrificial headphones. But no, I know you've talked to me in the past about how you'll kind of like clench fists and stuff to kind of express the anger, the frustration. So do you feel like that's what it was? Like it was actually productive and helped you move through it?
Yeah, for sure. Because once I threw the headphones, I didn't really think about it anymore. I kind of just let it go. And it was a new round after that. Because I'm a firm believer. If you keep dwelling on it, it's going to keep happening. So like, if I was going to keep thinking about me side railing for the win, I was probably going to lose to Ryan.
Devin, how does this win contribute to your confidence level going into the pro season?
Oh, it was a big confidence booster. Now I know with the field that was in West Virginia, I can easily go through a national if I play that way and play consistent for a whole weekend.
Another question about mentality. You and you played with Justin Burton Jr. on Saturday and didn't get the results you wanted. So after that, what was your mentality going into Sunday, thinking about what you could do to fix what happened on Saturday?
Just make smarter decisions and don't try to go for something crazy just to get 2 points. Just slide in, take the wash, or give up the 2 points. Giving up the fives and sixes, they're not going to help at all. So, like, each game on Sunday, I just took it a bag at a time and was trying not to minimize the big rounds and just give up small rounds if I had to.
So we talk a lot about this idea of being a finisher so people can get really far. We talked about Jeremiah Ellis making it right up there, but then wasn't able to cross the finish line. So you have crossed the finish line a couple times now or this season in the Open and last season in the Open. And what do you think it is when you were right there and not able to cross versus this past time when you were?
Honestly, I mean, I don't really have a set answer for that. That's a good question. I mean, I just keep trying to do the same things each tournament and keep pushing for the results I'm looking for, and eventually it would pay off. That's what I tell myself, and it did on Sunday.
Even though, because Jake told us that he went up to you and asked if he should pick you to win, and you said, dead face, that would be a good idea. Like, is that how you go into every tournament, or is that slightly different?
I've started going into every tournament that way. The last month or so, I've been going into tournaments like nobody's going to beat me. I'm coming out on top, and it finally happened. And now I'm ready. I'm ready for the pro season.
Switching gears a little bit, Devin, you know, obviously you had your big breakout in singles, but there's really two other core events that, you know, part of the pro season, and that's going to be doubles. Obviously this year playing with Kyle Malone. And then on the team side, you know, your ringers right back in a position where they're going to be, you guys are going to be favorites to possibly win the championship yet again. So when you look at those two elements kind of separate from the single side of the game, what excites you about this upcoming season, both playing with Kyle and playing for the ringers?
I think I'm most excited to play with Kyle. Honestly, I've had some pretty good partners in the past, but I've never had somebody like Kyle on the other end. So I'm really excited to go to work with him and see what we can do together. He's had great success in doubles in the pro division in the past. And so I think we can work well together. On the ringer side, I definitely feel we have a better team this year than we did last. So that's kind of scary for the other teams, in my opinion. But
well, and one follow up, sorry, before we'll, and then I'll promise I'll turn it over to you, Jake. So one thing I did find interesting is in the lineups for this past weekend, you didn't play with JBJ. Is that something that was just a product of this particular event, or is that something that you're experimenting with to possibly roll out into the pro season of playing with someone other than Justin?
So we actually talked about it, and it's something that we're thinking about rolling in throughout the whole year, because this season it's not a best of seven anymore. You're counting all the wins. So we're trying to get two wins as opposed to one with us splitting up. So that would help us in the long run at the end of the season with the final standings.
Yeah, I guess I'll stay on the topic of teams. So for someone who is an outsider who doesn't really know a lot about teams, so what kind of like strategies do you think do you implement in your team, and is something that makes you guys so successful?
I look at bag selections. That's a big thing. If I have two different people that throw completely different bags, I'm not going to put them together. I'm going to find two other people that throw similar bags and put them with each other. And then the big thing for me is matchups. Like, my goal is to win every matchup. So, like, say they have to put out a team first. I'm trying to think of a team I can put out to beat their team no matter who it is. And so, like, going out throughout the lineup, that's how I try to take it. Sometimes I can't win the matchup because I put out first and then they throw a team out. So it's hard.
Yeah, keeping on track with this this idea of bags, I did notice you throw the red Viper R's and Jeremiah Ellis also throws the red Viper R's. And it could have potentially have been the two of you in the finals. Were you thinking about that, having to potentially switch bags or any of that going through your head?
No, not really. So his actually have teal on the top, where mine have white. So, and we both throw carpet all the time. And we both throw carpet side down. We don't usually throw slick. So if we would have had to match up, being that it was at an open, we probably would have just thrown those bags.
You just now, killed everybody at home.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's exactly what I said on the stream. I said that on the stream. I was like, they're different piping. They'll be all right.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So the national, one of us would have had to change for sure.
So hey, look, I can hear her in the background. So what has it been like, this journey of this season, you know, becoming a dad, right? And how has that affected, and maybe not necessarily directly affected your play, but it's just your mentality, your lifestyle, things like that. That has to have been a big change to your life. So what has that been as a pro cornhole player?
Yeah, it's been a huge change. I wouldn't trade it for the world. She does make it easy. She lets me practice in the house. I mean, what more could I ask for? I mean, when I I just have a whole new meaning when I go out of town. I've got to do well. I've got somebody at home who counts on me, and so it's a whole new motivation for me, and I think it's going to help me out even better than before.
I kind of want to switch the gears. It's one of the most popular questions we get in the chat. So when you have your headphones on, what kind of music are you listening to? Does it change, depend on the mood or how it's going during the tournament? Take me through that.
I'm a country music fan. So 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to have some sort of country music on when I'm listening to music. But 75% of the time when I have headphones on, I don't even listen to music. It's to keep people from talking to me.
Smart.
I love it. That's awesome.
I would have to do the same because I can't stay focused if someone's talking
to
me.
Yeah, it throws me off.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, Devin, you are our first expert in ACL Academy. I'm super excited. You're actually going to be teaching later on today. We're recording on Tuesday. So what kind of stuff can people look forward to in what you're going to be teaching later?
I'm going to teach like the different grips, like how the different grips could cause different like reactions to bags on the board when you go to release or like throw them, mindsets, do clear minds and stuff like that, how to get out of a frustrating mindset or like a down mindset, and then like health tips, like staying hydrated, making sure you eat. I know a lot of players go all day without eating and they wonder why they can't last till the end. Well, you need food. You can't, the human body needs food to have that much energy.
Awesome. So, well, I'm super excited. And if you're not part of that, it's academyacl.com. You can check out Devin's talk, and that recording will be available even after he teaches it today. So you definitely don't want to miss that. Devin, do you tell them to throw their headphones to get out their frustrations?
yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I tested the durability of them. If you're looking to slam headphones, don't get the Beats.
Good to know. I wonder if there's any that can withstand that kind of throw.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, you guys got anything before we wrap up with Devin?
I got one more.
Okay.
Are you playing the Mid-Atlantic Regional this weekend? And if the answer is no, will you play with me?
You put me on the spot there.
Devin, yes, do not agree to that. Do not let Jake strong arm you into a guilt trip.
I'm actually playing with Jawan Smith.
Oh, he's all better right, than you, fine. Jake. He's that's better fine. Than you.
I know. Jawan's a dog. I'm not even going to lie. I love Jawan.
So, all right, fine. Devin, thank you so much for joining us. I'll see you later in the academy, but yeah, have a great rest of your day.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you all for having me.
Thanks, Devin.
Thanks, Devin.
All right, so it is time for hot takes. Yeah.
Yeah, it was worth a try.
Good shot there. Now, the hot take would have been that he said yes. I should have picked that one. All right, Trey, you got a hot take?
Yeah, you know, I've been really excited to watch two great women play within the division over the past, you know, week or so or couple weeks. And I don't know if I'm ready to necessarily say they're always going to be at the top, but when we talk about the Women's Tournament of Champions, which is a pro-only event, winners of each event, kind of like the shootout was last year, can't play in another one, right? So if we get Cheyenne come out to the first one, she can't play in the rest. I'm looking for these two women to win a pro women tournament of champion event during the regular season. I'm going Kaylee Hunter and I'm going Peyton Haynes, each of which to win a women's tournament of champions event.
Jake.
Yeah. So I won't be on the show until after the Brighton Michigan Open. So my hot take revolves around the Brighton Michigan Open. My hot take is that nobody should even show up for the Open because nobody in the entire area or maybe the entire country will be beating Jeremiah Ellis and Jaden Ellis. You heard it here first. Jaden's in his home state. There's going to be a lot of Ellis traveling up there because Ohio isn't that far away. Nobody is going to touch Jeremiah and Jaden Ellis. They are going to walk away with the Open doubles title, which is why Trey Birchfield will not be winning 4 in a row.
Okay, okay, we got it. I don't know if that's hot, but all right, we'll take it.
All right. All right. With the intensity, it was hot.
Yes, that was the goal. That was the goal.
That's very true. All right, I'm gonna go with piggybacking on what you said. I had something else, but I forgot it. So we're gonna go with we're gonna see a whole mess of Ellie's t-shirts in the stands over there for the Brighton, Michigan Open. I saw they were for sale, so we're gonna see that in the stands there. But that's all we got time for. Thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see you next time.